We're back to the book of Proverbs this morning and tackling the subject of generosity. The reading comes from Proverbs 11, 24 to 29, but we'll be thinking about verse 25. Some people spend their money freely and still grow richer. Others are cautious and yet grow poorer. Be generous and you will be prosperous. Help others and you will be helped. People curse someone who hoards grain, waiting for a higher price, but they praise the one who puts it up for sale. Those who depend on their wealth will fall like the leaves of autumn, but the righteous will prosper like the leaves of summer. Those who bring trouble on their families will have nothing at the end. So we're looking at that verse, be generous and you will be prosperous. Now on the face of it, that doesn't sound like good advice, does it? Saving and spending are the two categories we're most familiar with. If you want to be prosperous, you need to hang on to your money, or you need to put it in a high interest deposit account, not that there are any at the moment, or you need to play the stock market, or you need to buy more lottery tickets. But even before I've started, I've opted for a very narrow understanding of prosperity. I've assumed it's all about money and the things money can buy. Recently, the BBC aired a documentary about the Bruderhof, a community not unlike the Amish in America. Some of us are quite familiar with them because for 12 years, a group of them lived in a house in Clover Road. They can be found around the world, but in this country, they have two large communities, one in Kent and the other in Sussex. About 300 live in the Robertsbridge community in Sussex. If you join, you surrender everything to the community, including all your money. You don't even have your own clothes. When you need to, you just pick up a new set at the laundry. You're probably thinking that's a bit extreme, but then we all observe the bits of the Bible that we find to our taste. Jesus told his disciples that if they had two coats, they should give one to the person in need, but you and I have probably got more than two coats. I doubt I'll ever join the Bruderhof, but they're among the happiest, nicest and most trustworthy people I've ever met. Money and material wealth is such a dominant part of our thinking. A young man came to Jesus and asked what he needed to do to have eternal life. He reassured Jesus that he was a good guy, respectful and law-abiding. And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Give everything you have to the poor, and then come and follow me." The man's face fell because he had a lot of stuff. And Jesus said, "How hard it will be for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle." You have to accept, first of all, that money is important. We live in an area where lots of people mismanage their money and then ask you to bail them out. And then you wonder if you're doing them a favour by giving them more to spend on the wrong things. One guy came to me saying that his money had run out and he had no food and would I buy him a few items. I happily took him down the co-op and spent about £7 on a few essentials. The next week he was back again. His money had run out again, and would I buy him some more? So this time I asked him how much he was getting and what he was spending it on. Bit rude of me, I'll grant you, but we're not called to be naive. There are some people who have hardly any money at all, and that £7 could more usefully go to them, or maybe it should go to a charity providing a useful service. But let's go back to the text. Our reading began with these words: some people spend their money freely and still grow richer. Others are cautious and yet grow poorer. Be generous and you will be prosperous. Help others and you will be helped. We think in terms of spending or saving, but Proverbs offers us a third way of thinking. Be generous. Now that sounds very counterintuitive, but then think about it. Maybe it's true that if you have money and you're generous, you will prosper. People don't easily forget acts of kindness. Jesus certainly seemed to believe that generosity leads to prosperity. Luke 6:38 is always worth a thought as the offering bag is passed round. Give to others and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. Paul said much the same in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Remember that the person who plants few seeds will have a small crop, and the one who plants many seeds will have a large crop. You should each give then as you have decided, not with regret or out of a sense of duty, For God loves the one who gives gladly, and God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause. Wow. Does anyone actually believe this stuff? Being generous makes you rich. Of course, your motives could get quite twisted, but it's worth reflecting on. And when you think about it, there's so much that money can't buy. I don't know who wrote this, but it's been around for ages, and the truth is pretty much irrefutable. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy a watch, but not time. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy a book, but not wisdom. Money can buy power, but not respect. Money can buy sex, but not love. So, rather than starting with the thought of generosity, why not give some thought to the idea of prosperity? What is prosperity? It has to be more than money. Breonna Taylor's family may have received $12 million in compensation for her murder by the Louisville police, but that money will hardly comfort a bereaved mother. The novelist D.H. Lawrence once wrote, "Money poisons you when you've got it and starves you when you haven't." There's a cautionary tale that you may have heard. A rich capitalist went on holiday to an exotic location. He hired a yacht at huge expense and then sailed off to explore the region. One morning he anchored off a small fishing village, and as he motored ashore he saw a fisherman returning home with a large haul of fish. "That's a lot of fish," said the capitalist. "How long have you been out fishing?" "Just a couple of hours," replied the fisherman. "Do you normally catch that many?" "Oh yes," said the fisherman, "there are plenty of fish here, and one haul is enough for us." "So what do you do the rest of the day?" said the capitalist. "Well, maybe I'll take a nap or play with my grandchildren for a bit or practice my music or go into town with my wife or sip wine and enjoy the company of our friends, maybe watch the sun setting." The capitalist was fired up with such a glaring business opportunity. He told the fisherman that he could make real money from his business. If he fished twice or even three times a day, he could increase the haul, sell it all and up his earnings. Then he could buy more boats, employ staff and increase his share of the fishing market. All that success would give him enough to retire early. "So what would I do then?" asked the fisherman. "What do other successful people do?" "Well," replied the capitalist, "they often move to small, sleepy, coastal fishing villages where they work a few hours a day, maybe take a morning nap, play with their grandchildren for a stretch, take up various hobbies, go into town with their wives and sip wine and enjoy the company of friends, watch the sunset, and for the rest of their days do it all over again for as long as they want." You get the irony. It's a cautionary tale. It's getting you to think about what you want out of life. Prosperity has so many facets. It includes material prosperity, but adds in spiritual prosperity, physical prosperity, social prosperity. You may have a deficit in one or two areas, but if you can make up for it in the other areas, then contentment is not far away. But if you put all your eggs in one basket, or you prioritize the material and physical over the spiritual and social, then you'll probably detect a deep sense of yearning in your soul. I remember a moment back in 1990. We were living and working in Camberwell back then. Those were the days of what they used to call the inner city. The poor lived in the centre of London, the rich lived in the suburbs. It's funny how everything has been turned on its head now. Anyway, our church was situated in the heart of an estate that was 95% council housing, 5 20-storey blocks and a host of medium-rise ones. At the end of each day, people retreated into their flats and watched their TVs. We started a community night on Tuesdays, just getting people together for some food and conversation and maybe a few games. Two women, both called Anne, even started coming to church on Sunday evenings through that. And to this day, I still remember their first communion service. We passed around the little wine glasses, and then as we went to drink, they clinked their glasses and said cheers to each other. I think Jesus would have laughed. Anyway, one Tuesday summer evening, there was a power cut. A couple of us went outside to see if it was just the church, but it turned out the whole estate was without power. We walked over to one of the blocks. The residents were pouring out of their flats and chatting with each other in the car park below. We mingled in and enjoyed the most memorable community night ever. And that's why we often talk about social capital. Wealth doesn't have to be measured by money in the bank, but by strong friendships. And spiritual capital is all about that sense of identity and purpose that drives you as a person. And if my being generous enables another person to thrive, then why not? And it doesn't have to be money. You can give blood. You can give a few hours to volunteer for something. You can take the time to listen to someone in distress. Generosity will enrich your life and make you prosperous. In the Bible, the parallel word is the word grace. The New Testament is full of it, and it's never more perfectly captured than in the coming and dying of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. He didn't have to come. He could have stayed in the luxury of heaven with a host of servants and whatever technology he fancied. But instead he came. He put up with the obscurity of a childhood in Nazareth, learned himself a trade, and when he launched his ministry at the age of 30, he tasted firsthand the brokenness of a world gone horribly wrong. When the Apostle Paul reflected on it, all his words were as beautiful and profound as anything I've ever heard. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Possibly my favourite verse in the whole of the New Testament. And so says the proverb, be generous and you will be prosperous. Help others and you will be helped. Many of the Psalms are interrupted with the Hebrew word Selah. It means think on these things. A successful millionaire returned to the church of his youth. One of the elders recognised him and invited him to share his testimony. The man stood up and recalled the service when his life was at a low ebb and he was down to his last dollar. It came to the time for the offering and he recalled God saying to him, I want all of you and I want everything you have. He thought about holding back on his last dollar, but then he reached into his pocket and placed it in the offering bag. Since that day, he said, God has blessed me and today I stand before you as a millionaire. Congregation applauded and he returned to his seat. As it came to the time for the offering, the person in front of him leaned back and said, why don't you give him everything again?